Praise the Lord. Well, yes, let's pray. I believe God wants to speak to us. He's been speaking to me all week, so I just impart what he shared with me to you, and hope you get the same conviction I get. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this body of Christ, Lord. Yes. We thank you for the hearts that love you and want to serve you, for the many gifts that you have poured out on us to represent you. And Lord, this whole cross thing, it really blows your mind when you think about it, that we are your body and you called us to suffer with you. And Lord, when you were crucified, you've called us to be crucified with you. And when you rose again, you called us to rise to new life with you. And oh God, this gospel just keeps getting better and better the more I think about it. Yes. And we ascended on high because you did. And we are seated with you because you are. Oh God. Do we understand what this gospel is and what the difference is between us and those who don't know you? Yeah. May we hear today what you want us to hear. And may we be mobilized to spread the good news, this incredible news that we can have life only with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I have been preparing for the parables, the study on the parables, which starts on Thursday. And I've been really, really studying and read them over and over again. There's a lot of parables. And we're going to kind of focus on the end times parables, which means preparing for the return of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Which could be right now.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Amen. And so I love to walk. I love going. The beautiful thing about Elmira, actually, it's the same here. I used to walk downtown all the time. I just like walking. And so I always have a destination. I like walking downtown and then back. And I used to do it here. And Elmira's different, right? It's just different. Smaller town, not as many people. People are very friendly. And whenever I walk, I like to put on a sermon. And I just open my heart and my ears to what God wants to say. And it's really a powerful time. I encourage you to walk with the Lord and just have him speak to you. But so I'm walking downtown, take my usual route, and I'm coming to this very familiar street. And I'm on the street, and it's Friday morning, about 10 o'clock, and I see three kids playing basketball. And two of them are fairly small. One guy's about maybe 7 years old, 6 years old. And a couple bigger kids. And this little guy, 7 years old, and I'm walking up, and he's like, he shoots this shot, goes right in, like, wow. Like, wow, kid, you're good. And then he walks away from the net, and the garbage truck is coming up the road, right? So we don't have these fancy garbage trucks like golf has, right, where the arms come out and pick up stuff. We actually have people on the garbage trucks who still get off the truck and pick up the garbage and put it in the bag. So when they stop, it's for a while. And so this garbage truck comes up here, and I'm walking here, and the kid's right here. And all of a sudden, after he shoots, instead of like going, yes, he just turns like this to the garbage truck. And he's like in awe of this huge machine. You know, and he throws it in. The guy pulls a switch, and you know, it goes up and crushes everything. And the kid's face was just like, wow, garbage truck. Do you remember those days? Like, do you remember those days sitting on the curb waiting for the truck to go by? I do. I still do that. I still like to go out and watch the guys put it in the truck and then pull the lever and squish and everything flies all over the road and I got to pick it up. But I just think, as I'm listening to this sermon, okay, about the kingdom of God, this verse jumps in my head. Matthew 13:44. I'm going to jump around. I know maybe you don't like that, but too bad. These scriptures really connect well. So Matthew 13:44. And I'm studying the parables all week. And I'm focusing on the end times parables, but these parables are just like hitting me, right? So Matthew 13:44 says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of this parable just as the kid is like in awe of this garbage truck. And this connection is made. He sells everything he has to have that treasure. He finds the treasure. And it fills him with such joy, and the joy motivates him to give up everything to go and have that treasure. And friends, this is the Christian life. This is life eternal, to know Christ. Mm-hmm. What is the treasure? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. But listen, what is the kingdom of heaven? It's the king. You can't have a kingdom without the king. And so the kingdom of God is Jesus. The next parable is, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's like finding the most precious thing you've been looking for all your life. And when you find it, you get rid of everything else because nothing else compares to having that. I was once a little kid when I came to Jesus. I remember finding Jesus. I remember him finding me. And I remember being, wow. Yeah. Jesus, you're better than a garbage truck.
Right.
You're like everything I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. And I found you. And I remember saying those very words. I'd do anything. I'll get rid of everything to follow you.
Yeah.
Anything you want me to do. And then life happens, and churchianity happens, yeah. And all this religious stuff happens, and all these things start affecting that really aren't Jesus, okay? They start affecting your view of Jesus. And that's how the enemy works. He uses what we think is Jesus to change our view of who Jesus really is.
Yeah,
and we lose the awe and the wonder and the fascination of meeting Christ, the treasure that we've been searching for all our lives. And we lose our joy, right? And Jim read Psalm 32, and I was thinking of Psalm 51 when David had sinned, and it's almost their parallel Psalms. And David says, I've sinned, do not remove your spirit from me, restore the joy of my salvation. Right? You get so wrapped up in life, and sometimes you mess up and you beat yourself up, and you go to church looking for Jesus, and what happens there is not Jesus. And then God has to reconnect you and say, it's all about me. In me you'll have fullness of joy. In me, in my presence is fullness of joy. If you abide in me, your joy will be full. Right? Like, we know these scriptures. And then we seem to go through life and things change us. Jesus becomes like on the back burner, an afterthought. And God reconnects us. And I praise God for his mercy and grace. Not that I wasn't connected, but I'm really wanting to die with Jesus and nothing else. That he's my all in all. And so I'm meditating on all this whole experience. This is like just a 5-minute walk. And all this is going through my head. And then I start meditating on this. And then all these scriptures are coming out. Now I want to take you on this journey because, friends, let me just say this. I think I didn't choose the songs. Erin's the worship leader. She chose the songs. And they are like right in line. Nothing else. Just Jesus. Nothing else. Okay? Are we there? Are you there? Really, like, let's examine our hearts, right? Jim asked us to examine our hearts.
Yeah.
And we have scriptures like, you've lost your first love. I want my first love to be Jesus. I still want to get excited when I see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords move powerfully. When I, I didn't want to go out last night. Thank God I got a wife that says, we're going. Because I went out. And I saw Jesus.
Right.
And I saw Jesus moving this woman. This woman is totally transformed. And the effect she's had, she goes all over, wherever there's a right to life or 40 days of, for life walk, she's out there. And she's speaking all over the world, wherever these branches are. I'm like, she's telling her story. How one minute she's like encouraging people to have abortions, and next minute she's saying, no, Jesus created life. He's got a purpose for your baby. It's just like, this is the gospel. This is the radical transformation that happens when we encounter Jesus, right? And friends, we have to make that choice to choose Jesus. Because there's a whole myriad of things in the way that we could choose instead of Jesus, and we often do. And so here's the scriptures, very quickly, that kind of just I went through in my mind. The first one was Matthew 18:3. Which you know, these are very familiar scriptures. They're not obscure. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Now that word child in the Greek, literally, they used it mainly for children who were around 7 years old. And I don't want to get too much in the Greek, but whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And what is Jesus saying? I want you to be like little children. Because you can grow up and it's all head knowledge. It all becomes like you leaning on your own understanding and trying to figure things out. And I see it. The older kids get, the more it becomes about them.
Yeah.
And what they want to do and what God wants, they want God to do for them. And it doesn't become about the awe of who Jesus is. And it happens for us. We get sucked into this vortex of busy and doing. And friends, I'll just tell you right now, this is not a new revelation for me. Like, we do not want to do church.
Yeah.
Okay? We want to be the church that loves Jesus and loves being together. And when he shows up in a meeting, this is the goal, that we would experience Jesus and we would leave here full of Jesus, because it's all about Jesus.
Right.
It's not about anything else.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, are we like little children? Do we lose the awe of meeting Jesus? Do we still get excited when the garbage truck goes by and all those pistons and those hydraulics go and crush garbage? We should get excited that we know the King of the universe, that he should reveal himself to us. So ask yourself that first. Do I still get excited about Jesus? Is he the pearl of great price that worth selling everything for? Can I be a little child again when it comes to Jesus? I find it somewhat disheartening that when we do youth ministry, we have to boil it down to games and activities rather than imparting Christ, taking people to Christ, and having kids at that young age go, this is God?
Yeah.
Like the only wise God who died for me and he wants to have a relationship with me? Like, friends, we got to continue to impart that awe and wonder, right, to the next generation, because hopefully it gets into them and they'll never forget it. And the moment you're born again, you're like a little child, right? Like, want to find out everything, hopefully. That's how you know you're born again.
Yeah.
Your eyes are open, right, and it's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
And you just want to know Jesus.
Yeah.
If that hasn't happened, you come and talk to me. I'll point you to someone who's crazy about Jesus. So then I went to Romans 14:17. Now, I just finished reading Romans. Romans 14. Paul is discussing with the Roman church about special days and special foods. And what's happening in that church is they're judging each other for eating these foods and not eating these foods and, you know, obeying certain religious rules and that. And he says in verse 8, Romans 14:8, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So Paul is trying to diffuse this situation controversy in the Roman church and saying, Guys, stop it. Stop talking about food. Stop talking about which day is holy. Focus on Jesus. It's about Jesus. And look what he says here. Verse 16, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the living presence of Christ in you. Mm-hmm. Through the Holy Spirit. Friends, we are completely different. We don't belong to the world. The difference between us and everybody else who doesn't know Jesus, including religious people who just think it's all about rules, and don't ever become one of those people. Because the moment you become one of those people where it's all about rules and religious things, you miss Jesus. It's about Jesus, the King of Kings, who rules everything and reigns everything, who is your Lord, who knows what's best for you, who wants to rule from the inside and give you the life that he created you to have. Okay? It's about him through the Holy Spirit giving you real life.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Luke 17, 21. I still believe church Sunday is just to encourage each other to reconnect with Jesus. Remember, it's about Jesus.
Yes.
When you celebrate communion, it's like God said, here's how you're going to reconnect with Jesus every week. Every time you meet, do communion and you'll reconnect with Jesus. Focus on him, right? Thank you, Lord. So that's the purpose. Luke 17, 21. Verse 20, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Some translations say it is within you. But literally it means in your midst. What are they looking for? Religious people are looking for religious things. Okay? They're looking for this guy who claims to be Jesus, the Messiah. He's got to meet this criteria before I believe him. You know, he's got to come from Bethlehem, although that was the scripture and they couldn't see it. He's got to do this. He's got to free the Jews from bondage. He's got to do all this stuff. No. Here's what Jesus is saying. Guys, the kingdom of God is right in front of you. Okay? Your religion is blinding you from the very thing that you're seeking. And it's me. It's the King. The King has come. And he's right here. And so, you know, number one, Jesus has to be your first love. Number two, don't let religion in the way of stealing so that Jesus is not your first love. Don't let religion replace Jesus. Okay? It's that simple. You can be so religious that you can miss the person you're seeking.
Yeah.
Let me give you another scripture, Matthew 16. I don't have to tell you, you must be born again, right? You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, right? I don't have to say that to this crowd, I hope. But just in case, here's the deal. You need to be born again, right? Jesus is talking to a religious guy, Nicodemus, like really religious guy.
Yeah.
What Jesus just described.
Yeah.
You can be right there.
Yeah.
But here it is. Nicodemus, you need to be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. I have to do a work in you. I have to transform your heart. I have to come and take away your sins and then live inside you. Okay, I have to make you a new creation. That needs to happen first. So when that happens, my point is, you can go further and further away from your salvation experience. You get wrapped up in all the religious stuff of Christianity and you forget who Jesus is. And you think this is it. You haven't arrived to know Jesus when you get on the worship team.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Or when you get to stand here and preach. And I would discourage you from ever, unless God calls you, to get wrapped up into the rigmarole of church, okay? Because it will rob your joy in some cases. Unless you find a really exciting group of people to live life with. Praise God for you guys. This is, you know what, it's like a dream come true. To live life and see God move. And I won't even get into that, maybe. Matthew 16, 24 to 28. So if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will recompense every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, Jesus is saying, and this is the same thing. It's the same thing that Matthew 13:44 says, okay? If you want to find life, get rid of everything else that's not giving you life. Yeah. Sell everything, get rid of it, right? If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. The initial phase of coming to Christ and realizing that he's the treasure you've been looking for all your life is saying everything else is garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly what the Greek says.
Yep.
Horse manure. And I'm going to take you there right now. Philippians 3. This is Paul, radical Paul, who was like the king of religiosity.
Right?
Pharisee of Pharisees. I can read you that whole chapter. I should, because it's like, you know, so zealous for the religious, he's killing Christians. And he says this, chapter 3 of Philippians. Verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Okay? They're literally manure, garbage. Everything is. It's exactly what Jesus said. If you really want to find life, which is me, I am life, okay? Get rid of everything else. Have the attitude. That doesn't mean we have to sell everything, okay? Just means this stuff means nothing to me because I found everything that I need in Christ. Okay, what did Jesus say? You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about clothing. You don't have to worry about anything, Matthew 6. He said this. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's where the king is. It's his reign and rule. And you need to invite the king into your heart to rule and reign. And then you will experience true life. That pearl of great price. That buried treasure. That's what you'll find. You'll find everything of value in the person of Jesus Christ. I could take you Matthew 10:37. This is a tough one. I find this comes up a lot, and this is a tough one. So he sends out the 12, and he says, heal the sick, raise the dead. We're going to get into that in a minute. But 10:37, he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. Even your life, friends, even your earthly relationships can't be more important than Jesus. Your family can't be your first love. Jesus, he said that very clearly right in Revelation. It's about me. If you really, and I'm talking life. I'm talking true life. Let's just be honest. My family's not great. They got a whole bunch of problems. And if I get wrapped up in that stuff, it robs life from me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get wrapped up. I want to stay in Christ, where joy and peace is found. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I probably pass the mic around the room, and you guys will all testify. If I allow my family stuff to become my stuff, then I just get so frustrated, burned out, and disappointed, discouraged, and my eyes are off of Jesus. Luke 10. I think this will be the last scripture. It's pretty simple. So There are 72 disciples, or 70, depending on your translation. And Jesus says, guys, go. The harvest is plentiful. Laborers are few. You're the laborers. I'm sending you out into the harvest. And here's the message. Heal those, verse 9, in it who are sick. Verse 9, heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So here's what I want to say, and I'm not done in this chapter. When Jesus says the kingdom of God, he's literally saying the king. Okay? Choose the king over the kingdom of the world. Let go of the world. It has nothing to offer. Choose the king. When you choose the king and his kingdom, these things will follow you, right? When you believe in Christ, signs and wonders will follow you. Heal the sick, lay your hands on the sick, they'll get well, you know, cast out demons, all that stuff. The kingdom of God, when you say yes to Jesus, this is what comes with it. Power, yeah. Authority. Okay, and that's a whole other sermon, but I want you to realize something. When you choose to live as king, with King Jesus as king of your life, okay, then you get the benefits of the kingdom,
yeah,
which is righteousness, holiness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But it also includes this stuff, because he sends them out, right?
Yep.
And they do incredible things, and they come back and, wow, this is so awesome. Get to cast out demons. I get to see people healed and set free. And in verse 17, they come back. The 70 return with joy. With joy. Right? When you're walking with the king and you're walking in kingdom authority and power, there's joy. Right? When you get to pray and see Jesus move in someone's life and they get set free, there's joy. This is the life of the kingdom, friends. Okay? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's not just, you know, hanging out with Jesus in Kumbaya. It's hanging out with Jesus. And when he says, watch this, Mike. You're going to go and you're going to pray for that person and I'm going to do something.
Yep.
Then you go, wow, this is fun. This kingdom stuff is fun, right?
Yeah.
And he wants you to have that joy. Why? Because it's his glory.
That's right.
He wants to get the glory through your hands and feet. Okay? So he says in verse 17, they return, even the demons submit to us in your name. So exciting. They're all excited. And Jesus says, well, don't rejoice about that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Remember this, guys. Remember this. Never forget. If you get all wrapped up in the religious things you got to do and the excitement of casting out demons, you're mine. And you're seated in heaven with me. And that's where we're going to end up. So don't never lose that, because that will keep you focused no matter what's going through. And then he says in verse 21, I love this. One of my favorite, I say it often, one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. What's he saying? I mean, Jesus is literally jumping up and down that they get it. And he's overjoyed, and they're overjoyed. Why? Because he's king, he's given them his authority, and the kingdom of God is advancing and doing what it's supposed to do, casting out demons and pushing back the kingdom of darkness, right? And I want you to remember this. Because the king came into your life, you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God, okay? That's what scripture says. You can look it up, Colossians 1:13. This is the reality, friends, that I want us to capture and never lose. Just like the kid who was enveloped in the awesomeness of this big, loud, you know, squeaky garbage truck. I want us to just go, wow, Jesus, this is so cool. Don't ever lose that. Because if you'll know, you know what? Your joy is the first thing to slip. All through these texts, it's about joy. It's the first thing that goes. And you get discouraged and frustrated. And things become hard and it's challenging. People, they just say something, it just affects you wrong. You're out of your kingdom joy place, your happy place. right? And it's so easy. It's so easy to happen. Mm-hmm. Even when you're ministering to someone, and it's heavy-duty ministry, don't ever leave the place of joy in the kingdom, right? With Jesus. It's always got to be Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you. Living life with Jesus is so awesome. Mm-hmm. And I praise God that I get to live it with you guys, because there's a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of just great testimonies, and I get excited when Jesus is working through us and we share. That's why we do testimonies. Because there's nothing greater than hearing Jesus working in someone. Right?
Yeah.
It's really encouraging. And I want us, even as leaders, to keep saying, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's where the joy is. Abide in me, your joy will be full. Okay, even if you're going through stuff, if you got pain, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul, I could have kept reading and said, I want to know Christ and the sharing his sufferings. Even in the suffering, there's joy in with Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And I probably should have kept reading Philippians 3. Because first he discounts everything about his, you know, I'm a great Jew and I was trained by this guy and I'm just amazing Jew. But that means nothing to me. It's all about Jesus. And I want to know Christ. And I want to take hold of that for which he took hold of me. There's more. There's more, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep apprehending Christ, because in Christ is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Friends, Jesus. In your evangelism, when you share Jesus.
Right.
Tell him the joy he brought in your life. This woman, she was so radiant. I don't know, like, just an observation. She's still Catholic, but it's a different type of Catholicism.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on fire down there. She's like, wow, this is a... I think American... I said this to Ruth. American evangelicalism has really influenced American Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, to the point where she's born again.
Yeah. Yeah.
She knows Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
And she talks like a charismatic.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Right, Bruno? I like hearing their story, because they got wrapped up in the charismatic Catholic movement. The next thing you know, they're like born again. Following Jesus.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to do to get rid of the stuff that's taking you away from Jesus and just focus on Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.